Goodbye, Mom. No, oh, what am I saying?
What, this? It's nothing. Really, it's nothing, Ed. It's just, it's just Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Have a good time. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
Okay, you little bastards. The time has come. The moment we've all been waiting for. It's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Let's go.
Let's go. Tally-ho. Welcome one. Welcome all. It's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Welcome to the podcast. Here we broadcast live on the Really American Media platform. And welcome to it, YouTube.
Yeah. Hey, what do you know? Here's the deal. We got a website for ourselves. It's thevocalminority.net. You can find our personal social medias on YouTube, Instagram, Reddit, TikTok, Blue Sky, pretty much anything but Truth Social and X, because those are weird platforms that we don't really want to be on. But we're primarily hanging out with Really American Media nowadays. So you can catch our show here streaming live twice a week.
Got a comment you want us to play on the show? For crying out loud, you can call 844-48-VOCAL, chat along. Thanks for being here. We're going to get into the day's politics. I know you're all anxiously awaiting. Are you ready to go, Stefan?
I'm anxious.
It's 7 minutes after the hour.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Indeed. All right. Nicholas. This Trump administration, it sort of seems, I'm getting the impression that if you pay them, they will do things that you want them to do.
God, you're so cynical, dude. Where did you get that from?
I read the news every day. Oh, I'm pretty sure that's where I got it from. Okay. So, you know, here on Really American Media, we've been doing our daily videos, Nick and I both, and then doing the show live a couple times a week. And last week I did a story about this Paramount merger with Skydance Media. Now, Paramount owns mainly TV stations, CBS, BET, MTV, you know, TV stuff. And they're trying to merge with Skydance Media that does a bunch of movies. And this merger is worth about $28 billion.
With a B?
But there's a little problem. Yeah, and with a B. Any major merger like that requires federal approval. And right now, federal approval would be in the hands of the Trump administration and our old buddies at the FCC. We like them, don't we?
Yeah, well, it's not a good place to be unless you bleed red. I mean, which I guess we all do, but you know what kind of red I'm talking about.
I don't want to get all scientific on you, but yes, I think we all do bleed red. But anyways, so Paramount is trying to merge with Skydance. They need Trump's administration, mainly the FCC, to approve the whole stupid deal. But the problem is Trump is also concurrently suing CBS over this 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris that he is claiming was, I don't know, like edited out of context to make her look good, make him look bad.
Once again, going back, dude, all of that matters not anymore. I mean, it's obviously just an ego thing, but why are we going back? Why are we still focusing on that to any degree?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, he won the election. Yeah. So even if it did rattle his cage or he wants to claim it swayed a few votes, like it didn't sway enough votes, clearly. Yeah. I wish it would have, but it didn't. So here's the latest on this story. President Donald Trump's lawyers gave a very Trump-like excuse because he is now refusing a $15 million settlement coming from CBS. CBS willing to pay $15 million to make this whole thing go away.
$15 million. I mean, I guess it's just a drop in the bucket to the con man. But here's the thing, dude. He doesn't need the money, obviously. So this is all just for his ego. I mean, that's what he's stroking. He wants more than that only to say, this is actually how wrong we were. We were $50 million wrong. We weren't $15 million wrong.
Yeah. And by the way, do you know how much he's actually suing them for?
How much?
I mean, it might as well be a kajillion dollars. He's suing them for $20 billion, and I have no idea where he would even put a price tag like that on it. But suing for $20 billion, they've offered up $15 million. The rumors were they were going to offer up somewhere between $30 and $50 million. And there's just a variety of problems with this, and I'm sure you're going to be shocked to hear that.
Sure.
So the mega president's lawyers claimed that the, quote, mental anguish and confusion that he suffered from a, quote, deceptively edited 60 Minutes interview was just too much for him to bear. And because of all that anguish, Nick, $15 million is not going to cut it.
Dude, I don't think it's hard to confuse him. You know what I mean? The mental anguish and confusion, that's what he's actually suing for. Those are the damages.
I mean, first of all, don't they always call the left like whiny little snowflakes?
Yes.
You're seriously going to try to tell me that you're Mr. Macho Man, the guy that loves these AI images of him all muscle bound looking like Rambo, and he's upset that a girl went on TV and said mean things about me, and that he thinks it somehow influenced the election, which obviously did not.
He gets confused, dude, because if we all remember the Dominion lawsuits against Fox News. I mean, they had to pay out millions and millions of dollars, but there was actual wrongdoing there. I mean, even if you find wrongdoing here, like you said, it wasn't enough to sway anything. So can't we just get back on the horse and move on? I mean, maybe they write I would rather have them write a letter and say, you know what, we did do something wrong here. We're admitting to it and we apologize. I mean, that'd be worth more to me than the money.
How about they just stand on their principles as journalists and business owners and tell him we've done nothing wrong? They vehemently and correctly disputed the entire premise of this lawsuit from the get-go. But now all of a sudden, because of this merger, everyone assumes they're willing to fork over millions of dollars. And I think Trump completely realizes he has them over a barrel because now they've blinked, you know?
Yeah, of course, dude. That's why he's here. I mean, that's the kind of power that he craves, obviously. That's why he's here in the White House, because he loves to have this control over so many different entities. And I'm sure it keeps him up at night with a bone, you know, a boner.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So Trump's lawyers are telling CBS's Paramount company, Paramount, that they would prefer to have $25 million. That's according to a Wall Street Journal report. Paramount, like I said, originally ripped the lawsuit as an affront to the First Amendment without basis in law or fact, which is accurate. But again, now they're willing to fork over a minimum of $15 million. We'll see where it actually ends up.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you're in that position, this is the world we live in now, right? A corrupt government. Like, what do you do? If you want to get your project on, I guess you have to see, can I still make money? Because this is one I'm going to have to pay $15 million to do this. Is the project still viable, you know, to make money? This is just another step in the process now.
Yeah, there's a few problems with this. Let's start with the selfish one. Paramount has deep pockets, so they can pay $15 million, $20, $25 million, and life will still go on.
Yeah.
When Trump turns his ire to smaller platforms, which is also a story I did for Really American a few days back, that Lev Parnas, former insider in Trump world, is being told by his inside sources that Trump is set to target Substack and YouTube next and go after individual content creators, influencers, and political talking heads like you, me, and everyone else at Really American Media. And, Nick, do you have a spare $25 million to settle that kind of thing?
I don't know that I have a spare $25. You know what I mean? But here's the thing, dude. Are you scared at all? Like, when you go on and make content talking about this administration, do you have any twitch of fear in your body?
The short answer is no, because I feel like we're under the radar. You know, as soon as we get on that radar, I would like to think that some person out there is going to step up and do a GoFundMe, or a Mark Cuban's going to pay our legal bills. Like, I would hope somebody would say, hey, Paramount can pay their own damn bills. But as soon as you start going after Nick, Steve, Kenny, Chip, Tony, anyone at Really American, I would hope people will step up and do something to help. Because obviously the little guys like us will just get completely screwed. Yeah. And it's not even about winning the lawsuit. It's about going bankrupt just trying to survive it.
Well, it's actually less than that. I mean, this is all just about freedom of speech, you know, like, do we have it or do we not? Can we talk about our government? Is there dissent? Can we do this or not? I mean, that's where we're heading.
And by the way, on the category of free speech, political speech is supposed to be the most protected, not the least. So we're supposed to have extra layers of protection. The bar should be even higher. But not only is Trump lowering it by these lawsuits, but everyone who settles is significantly lowering it, because now there'd be a legal precedent that while CBS did something wrong, they paid $25 million. So obviously Nick, Steve, or whoever else, they got to fork over some cash too.
Dude, it's just like what we saw when Trump was running this time around. Like, we saw all these podcasts who didn't have anything to do with him the first time around come and bend the knee. We saw Mark Zuckerberg come and bend the knee. All these people said, you know what, I'm not going to be screwed this time around. I'm going to kiss the ring. I'm going to bend the knee. And this is where it gets us, because you're exactly right. We need some of the big people like Paramount that have high dollars behind them, Zuckerberg, to stand up and be like, no, 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 this isn't right. This isn't right. I'm not going to bend my knee.
Absolutely. David McKee is on YouTube right now. He asks, once Donnie goes down, will his cabinet go to trial? I think there's a few problems with that. I mean, first of all, Donnie seems to have blanket immunity. As long as he's doing it in an official capacity, apparently, according to the Supreme Court, there is no taking him down. So I don't think the dominoes could fall any further from that. It would be humorous if someone else in the administration got prosecuted. Sure. But I assume that would be a federal crime, in which case Trump will just pardon them with or without a bribe.
My immediate thought was, and when you can't go after someone, you go after the people they love and care about. And then I was like, oh, he doesn't love and care about anyone. Like, he only cares about himself. So I don't know if you can hurt him. He's Teflon Don.
Yeah. And, you know, this whole concept of CBS Paramount paying him off right now, it sort of sounds like a bribe. I mean, isn't that what it is when you pay someone, when you got a deal pending and you want to grease the wheels and get things done? Isn't paying somebody a bribe?
Yeah, yeah. Or a quid pro quo. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So there are three Democratic senators. I want to say it was Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and someone else. They have raised this issue, noting that the company's efforts to settle with Trump could run afoul of federal anti-bribery laws. That warning has been weighing on Paramount executives, who are worried that if they do the settlement, that they're going to be in other legal liability.
Hmm. Yeah, what a mess we find ourselves in.
Yeah, that we're all in. So there you go. I mean, it's this topic of bribery, which is not only going on with First Amendment stuff like this, but what do you think of all these freaking pardons that are going fast and furious this week?
Dude,
I don't want to get ahead of us if you've got the news story coming up.
But I don't know.
Thoughts?
I mean, the fact that he pardoned the Chrisleys. I mean, I don't know if you saw. Do you know who they are, first of all?
Thankfully, I've never heard of them or watched their reality show. I mean, I'm up on the news, so I know kind of who they are now. But no, did you ever watch them?
Very sporadically. Like, I definitely knew who they were, and I watched the show a couple of times for sure.
Like a house flipping thing? Or?
No, it's like the Kardashians. You know, it's just them following around a family who's, you know, a little odd and everything else. But yeah, they went to prison for many years for not only there was some tax evasion involved, but there was also some loan documents. They borrowed a lot of money is what I'm trying to say. They borrowed a lot of money and they falsified documents on it. So they went to prison.
Uh-oh.
And then he pardoned them. Like, I don't know. Did you see him calling the daughter and son and saying, like, I'm pardoning your parents. Hopefully they'll be home tomorrow. He admitted in that phone call, like, I'd never really heard of this. I don't know who you are, but people have been telling me about it. Like, talk about a pardon with no thought. Like, again, it's just greasing the pockets of somebody else because he still has no clue who they are. He just, somebody told him, like, hey, you should pardon these guys.
I was gonna say, somebody told him that these people are MAGA. They're claiming prosecution out of Georgia and Fulton County, even though this is a federal thing. I don't care if the federal office was out of Fulton County. It's a federal prosecution, obviously.
Yeah.
Or Trump couldn't weigh in. So, yeah, he was told they're MAGA lovers. They feel like they're being politically persecuted. And guess what? They inflated values to get a loan or whatever, falsified doc. I mean, that just struck Trump right in the heartstrings there.
I've done that before.
Who hasn't done that?
Same
thing.
Been there, done that. So, yeah, I find that freaking disgusting. I mean, the sheriff he pardoned, the rapper he pardoned. I mean, the pardons are going fast and furious here. And I feel, speaking of fast and furious, let's just say that you had like some high-end sports car, like you had a Ferrari and you loaned it to me for the weekend.
Okay.
I would drive that thing very gingerly.
Of course.
The last thing I would want to do is screw up this expensive high-end sports car.
Yep.
And in this little analogy, that sports car, I guess, would be our democracy. And you loaned it to Trump, and he took that thing out, drag raced it, and just tore the hell out of everything, put miles on it. Like, yeah. He realizes being able to pardon someone is a little trick that only he has. And instead of being careful and respectful with it like every other president, yeah. He's going 0 to 600 and just tearing around the neighborhood going, look at me.
Driving it like a rental. Dude, all these things, this is what we're just talking about, that he loves this side of things where he has all these strange powers that literally no one else has. These pardons are absolutely nuts, dude, that he doesn't know the people he's pardoning. The fact that he pardoned all of the Jan 6 hostages, I mean, and we're seeing them go back to jail on their own accord is absolutely crazy. Pardons don't mean anything because he signed them with a Bic and not an auto pen. That's where you get yourself in trouble, dude.
Yeah. And by the way, it used to be illegal to bribe somebody to get clemency or a pardon or whatever. I can't remember who's the governor of Illinois who was on Trump's Apprentice. It's not Buttigieg, but it sounds something like that. But anyways, that guy was, you know, selling favors out of his governor's office, and he went to prison for many years because you're not allowed to bribe public officials to do what you want them to do.
Right.
Problem is, again, with the Supreme Court ruling, it is literally only an official act for Trump to pardon someone. It's a unique power to him.
Yeah.
So it is by definition a presidential power. So therefore, it can't be questioned. He can't be prosecuted, even though he is somewhat overtly accepting money and or, you know, favors for it.
Dude, it's completely overtly. It's not somewhat. It's, we talked about, I think it was last week, we talked about the fact that MAGA is in agreeance. If Biden was doing the things Trump is doing, they would be losing their mind. But The fact that Trump is doing them so out in the open, he's flamboyant about the things he's doing, they're okay with it.
Yes, they are literally okay with it. So I actually have this story. Let me just skip to that. Headline, Trump family. Oh, no, sorry. Wrong story. let's see. Republicans would have impeached Joe Biden 100 times for the stuff that Trump is doing. You know, as we know, for years, they were looking into Biden, his family, his son, foreign business deals, all of that stuff. Meanwhile, Trump is openly and overtly, like you said, doing this stuff in 100 ways. Probably the most blatant is this whole cryptocurrency scam. Completely. Where you can just literally give the guy money. And we now know he'll invite you to, you know, private fundraisers and stuff.
Yeah.
And Mike Johnson, one of our faves, he said in an interview recently, says, quote, the difference, of course, is that President Trump does everything out in the open. He's not trying to hide anything. There's no shell companies or fake LLCs or fake family businesses. He's putting it out there so everyone can evaluate it for themselves.
I'm pretty sure there is all of those things because he's been taken down for Trump University. they got the Trump family got in big trouble for their charity work in New York. Like, he's done all that stuff. Don't even think for a second that he stopped.
Right. And that's the problem. So Mike Johnson said, it's all out in the open. We can evaluate it for yourselves. I have, and it's wrong. It's corrupt. So now what you going to do?
I gave it an F. I evaluated it, and you received an F grade.
Right. I'll tell you, Tucker Carlson falls, I guess, under the category of a broken clock is right twice a day. Because Tucker Carlson recently said on his podcast, he had a guest on. They were talking about all Trump's business deals that he just put together over in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson said, sure looks like corruption to me.
Look, I don't ever want to agree with Tucker Carlson, but I mean, that's low hanging fruit. Yeah, of course it looks like corruption. Can you imagine, even for 1 second, Biden would have taken a jet from Qatar?
Yeah. or open up hotels and properties over there. And Jared Kushner took $2 billion. I mean, it is absolutely insane. But to some extent, like, these people are right. He's doing it in the wide open. And I think for some reason, that makes a lot of people feel like, well, if he's not hiding it, I mean, all the other politicians hide it. Does that mean if he shoots someone in Fifth Avenue that he can get away with it? He did it out in the open.
Yeah, of course it does, dude. I mean, we know that when he made that statement, we were like, yeah, probably. But now we know, oh, yeah, definitely he could do that.
Yep. Someone named Happy Enough on YouTube, the stench of a maggot-infested, rotten, counterfeit election where Russia tails wag, the tale of the stolen election by Lottery Game and Telescreen.
That was quite the haiku, yeah, dude. Mean,
yeah. Was that a haiku? That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another person on here is saying, as long as you're on the side with Trump, you can get away with it. And that is so true. I mean, all you have to do is pledge allegiance to him and or give him cash. And it seems like any crime going on out there. I mean, he's talking about pardoning the people that almost kidnapped the governor of Michigan. That were like outside her house with like ropes and chains and stuff. I mean, and somehow Trump was, oh, they drank too much. They were just, you know, good old boys.
It's locker room talk, you know. Right. It's always excused.
Will he pardon the guy that grazed his ear? I mean, you know, that guy didn't do it either.
Hasn't mentioned him, though. We haven't seen any investigation into that. So did it really happen? Mm-hmm. We don't know. Hey, I got a question for you. Will you answer this? No. Okay. I started having this thought. And, you know, sometimes we get these thoughts in life where we think, like, I think I'm the only person on this planet thinking about this. So tell me if I am. They have started to hold church service at Mar-a-Lago. Okay. For the past few weeks, I've been seeing, you know, they're having this kind of worship where they wave their hands and, you know, thank the Holy Father. And when I saw the video of this crap, said, you know, join us next Sunday, same time, same place. It's going to be great. So my thought was, I told Rachel, they are having church service at Mar-a-Lago. My thought is that they are going to try and make Mar-a-Lago nonprofit, no tax. They don't want to pay taxes.
That's exactly what I was thinking as you're telling me that story. I mean, first of all, way to abide by the separation of church and state. So we've turned the president's second White House into a church, which is disgusting enough on its own. But yeah, you just watch. They probably will try the old we're tax exempt thing now, which also means they're not supposed to be involved in politics. I'm quite sure they're not going to abide by that philosophy either.
Come on, dude. We've seen this before where the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve has made some pretty great predictions that have come true that no one else was really talking about. I mark my words. I think this one we're going to see in the next couple of weeks. Like Mar-a-Lago, they're going to put up a crucifix, and it's going to become a church, and they will not pay tax.
I assume it'll just burst into flames if they try to officially deem it a church. Nah. I'm not talking about vandalism. I'm talking about the Heavenly Father above saying, no, don't associate my name with that stuff. Good God is what he would say.
You would hope so. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. This is Need to Know News.
Need to Know News. News you need to know.
I got so many things to talk about that we can talk about today. Let me grab a great one.
And by the way, someone on YouTube just said this is hypocrisy. Thanks, Tanks Alive. I think that word has lost all meaning. It used to have an actual meaning. I don't know what it means anymore because the Republicans do it all day, every day, and somehow their base lets them get away with it.
We're just
I don't think that word means what.
Let's call it maggot normalized behavior syndrome.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Or the what if Democrats did it syndrome, you know?
Oh, yeah. It'd be a different story. Steve, as we prepare to leave this country for vacation, it got me thinking there's been many times that I've traveled out of the country, and especially since 2016, that I have looked around the world and seen before I make the trip. Are there any travel advisories that I should know about? You know what I mean? Because like oftentimes you can go into a country and be like, oh, we don't recommend going there right now. The U.S. will say that. Like some bad things are happening. Well,
and by the way, just on a quick aside, USA Today just published an article about the number of Americans canceling trips abroad because they don't want to be harassed. They're like, screw it, I'll go to Hawaii. I don't want to go to another country and have everyone assume that I'm just like the MAGAs.
All right, dude, I'm ordering on Amazon this weekend. I'm going to just order you and I both Oh Canada or I Love Canada hats, all right? It'll be our costume.
Good plan.
But here's the point of this story. Is that for the first time since I've ever known, I'm 49. Am I 40? Yeah, I'm 49 years old. Yes. Here's the thing. The travel advisories are not happening to other countries. There are a lot of other countries that are now have travel advisories in effect to the United States of America.
And they're completely correct to be doing that.
Yes.
If you, we've said this before on the show, and I'll keep saying it for the next 3.5 years. If you are not a true blood, 100% born an American U.S. citizen, do not leave this country or come to this country, because you're going to end up in some ICE detention for hours if you're lucky, weeks or months if you're in the mid-range.
Steve's exactly right, ladies and gentlemen, because we've even seen people that are citizens be trapped in ICE detention centers. So, yeah, you got to be really careful with it, right?
Yeah. So what are the travel advisories? What are they warning about?
Let's talk a little bit about it. So let's talk about some of the countries first. So Canada is on the list. They've got a travel advisory to the United States. The risk, potential fines, legal penalties, or being deemed ineligible for future entry if non-compliant is what their travel advisory is. Germany. Okay, has a travel advisory. Entry not guaranteed. Border agents have wide discretion. Advisory includes warning for transgender travelers due to U.S. requirements to list sex at birth.
Wow. Ooh, interesting.
What a sad freaking day, dude.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've known for years there's a target on the transgender community. And yeah, now there literally is as you're attempting to travel.
Yes. Can you travel? United Kingdom, risk detention or removal at the border due to administrative misunderstandings is what they're calling it. Denmark, travelers with X or gender changed passports may face issues due to U.S. insistence on binary sex at birth. A lot of these are not only transgender, but everyone in the LGBTQ plus community. They're saying it's not safe to go here right now. And I mean, it goes on and on from the Netherlands, France, Finland, Norway, Belgium, Portugal. These are all places that you think to, like, you're afraid of the United States. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have said, like, no, don't worry about it. Come to the United States. It's a wonderful place. But I can't agree more with some of these.
The times, they are changing. Are we going to have trouble getting out of this country and or back into it? I pray to God they don't Google us. We will end up in a freaking gulag in Guantanamo Bay or something.
Well, I told you, dude, we got to take our our face identification off our phones, because they can grab your phone and want to look through it, all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. Wow. We'll see how it goes. Excuse me.
Just for the record, this is all satire. I'm true-blooded Meg all the way. Pull that clip so we can play it for them at immigration, okay?
Yeah, I'm doing it for the paycheck, obviously. So
right. Let's see here. Jane Buck says on YouTube, why would anyone want to come here when they're likely to get picked up? It's a great point. I mean, I want to say come to the blue states. Go visit Seattle, visit San Francisco, New York City. But, yeah, you got to go through international customs to get here. So maybe that's not great advice.
No, I see people I've been seeing a lot of videos from people just posting their experiences. They try and come down from Canada into Washington because that's where I'm based out of. And it's crazy, dude. Not only the line of questioning. I've been to Canada many times, crossing the border in my car, and the line of questioning has completely changed. And the people that are coming from the States into Canada, Canada's worried. Like, you know, we don't trust you Americans. And the people, when we're leaving, they're like, yeah, are you trying to get out? What are you trying to do here? So, yeah, it's crazy right now.
It would be hilarious. I honestly think they should do this. What if Canada built a wall Wouldn't that just be humorous irony?
I mean, sad, sad irony, you know, yeah. And just think about it. We're sitting here having this conversation as 49-year-old straight white men. Can you imagine even for a second if you were gay, trans, or just a different color? If you were brown, can you imagine having this conversation and what it would feel like or mean?
No, and as you're well aware, my firstborn is gay, and I don't know that I would tell them to leave the country right now.
Yep.
Or, again, have some fake profile set up where you're making out with someone of the opposite sex or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause, yeah, this is the sign of the times. It, you know, assuming you can get into the country to be harassed by MAGA, you still have to get through the check marks. And, yeah, and like I said, I don't know. I agree with Jane there. Like, I don't know why people would be coming here right now. And by the way, I'm in a tourist area, and everyone around here, our visitors board, the Chamber of Commerce, everyone is tracking and talking about the fact that revenue and tourism has fallen off a cliff, that revenue from Canada is down like 40-50%, revenue from Mexico is down 20-30%, and that, yeah, just the general word in these countries is don't. Why would you?
Yeah.
So Canadians are going to go to Mexico instead of Hawaii or Southern California or something, and we've completely brought this on ourselves.
My brother always says to me, before you do anything, Nick, think about what's the upside? And right now, the upside coming from another country to the United States is—it's not here. I'm sad to say that, but that's the truth.
Yeah. Well, let's bring our equipment with us in case we are not allowed back in the country. We can still broadcast from wherever we're stuck at.
We should just at least box it up and be like, hey, if for some reason we don't make it back, mail these boxes right to us. Okay.
Yeah. So, slip a dime bag in there too.
So, yeah, yes. Please.
Need to know news.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, this is a fire.
News you need to know.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody has time for it, Steve, but we have time for you.
No. We don't? Are we done?
No, we do. We have plenty of time for you. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you said no one has time for me. All right. Let's switch gears. I think now is time for a happy dance. I don't know if this is permanent, but I think after a year or so of constantly talking about effing Elon Musk, and I don't mean effing him literally, I think Elon Musk is done. I think we have driven him out, and I think the liberals get to take the credit. Yes. Our pocketbooks get to take the credit. We have destroyed Tesla, and I think Elon Musk has finally gotten the message that you will not survive as the world's richest man if you keep playing politics. So Elon Musk finally seems to be gone.
Yes, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Yes. That's a live feed from Mar-a-Lago right there.
Right. So. Finally, dude.
At their church service.
He gave in way before I thought he would. That's for sure. Because, like, if you're the richest man in the world, like, it's not necessarily monetarily time to go. But we beat him down emotionally. We browbeat him into realizing and looking in the mirror and saying every morning, I'm a piece of crap, dude. I'm a terrible person.
Yeah. So here's a question. Do you really think it's the public pressure and the implosion of Tesla? Because we've been seeing that for a few weeks easily, if not a month or two. And he hadn't officially quit. I want to say it was somewhere around 4 to 6 weeks ago. He said that he's going to dial it back, you know, maybe a day or two in D.C., whatever President Trump wants of me. But I got to get back to work. But now it's official. And I'm going to read one of his little goodbye notes today. But this all happens within about 48 hours of Musk criticizing the big, beautiful bill, saying that it defeated the Doge work and just added to the deficit. And all of a sudden now he's like, yep, I'm gone.
Which was so funny, too, because yesterday a reporter asked Trump about, you know, did you see Elon took a crap on you with the big, beautiful bill? And Trump didn't say a word about that. I mean, he just kind of avoided the question. But yeah, Trump's aware.
He gave an answer that had nothing to do with the question.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would assume he did get pressured out. And I don't think that bridge will be burned permanently, but and there's only one reason why. Trump does not want to disown the richest man in the world.
Sure. Keep him on the team. Just put him on the bench for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think they've sort of pressured him out and are trying to publicly say that, you know, we're just parting ways as buddies. Musk recently called himself the, I think, the first buddy is what he said his title was.
Gosh, dude.
Right. So today on X, Musk thanked President Donald Trump, quote, for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending. The DOGE mission will only strengthen over time as it becomes a way of life throughout the government. This right as Trump is passing the big, beautiful bill that will add trillions more to the debt. So I don't think it actually is taking on like he thinks.
No, dude. I mean, that's what his huge squabble was, is that, you know, by signing this big, beautiful bill is, you know, it, everything that Doge spent time doing is now, you know, zero. It's back at zero, or it's in the red.
Tanks Alive on YouTube says most of Elon's talk is ketamine driven. Yeah. Would that be a true statement or is it a rumor?
I think that that's a true statement for sure.
Well, he's talked about it. So that's where that whole thing came from.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Doge originally said they were going to cut $2 trillion. Then it was down to $1 trillion. Their final thing was $150 billion. And even that is highly debatable if that's going to be offset by all the chaos they cause, the lost tax revenue they cause. Like, I think they actually, I don't think, I know they did more harm than good.
Well, it's been about as transparent as a window with a tornado behind it. You know, like, yeah, we can see what's happening, but we can't really see anything.
Right. So, you know, people started piling on his poor, pitiful me, you know, goodbye note today. One person said, thanks so much for resigning. Someone else said, this has damaged your brand beyond anything you can imagine. True. And as we keep telling everyone out there, don't take your foot off that. Like, don't forgive him and 6 months from now go buy a Tesla, get a Rivian, get some Ford electric vehicle, buy any other electric vehicle on the planet. Do not let this man ever get his head back above water.
No, no. He's always, you know, if we're canceling people, he's canceled, dude.
Yeah. So let's keep it that way. Yeah. Now, someone on X, ironically, put what is probably the most thoughtful reply to all of this. And it is, I'll skim through it, but he basically said, remember, people, this was never about government efficiency. Number one, OSHA was investigating both Tesla and SpaceX for safety violations. Number two, the National Labor Relations Board was investigating Elon Musk for violating workers' rights. USAID, because they were investigating Starlink and its Ukrainian connection. The FAA, because of a over $600,000 penalty against SpaceX. The Department of Justice for investigating conversations with Putin. The Equal Opportunity Employment Commission for investigating racial harassment and discrimination. Oh, I'm not done. The Security and Exchange Commission for investigating Musk over funding secured, funding that was secured to take Tesla private. I mean, the list goes on and on. The point is, Musk made out like a bandit for all of this because he has been operating like a bandit.
Of course, dude. I mean, he's leaving now because he did what he needed to do for himself. This was never about helping America. I've had conversations with many in the maggot farm, and they've all said, like, oh, what are you talking about? You don't think Elon Musk actually cares about America? Like, that is completely laughable. And no, I don't. Why would he? Why would he? He's got the money to do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't have to care about you or me. He definitely doesn't care about the little people, you know?
No. We've been saying for a while that Elon Musk is a terrible boss. I don't care if at points Tesla was good or SpaceX was good. Like, any boss that doesn't care if you lose revenue, as he has said before, like, I don't care, cancel me, or, you know, stop advertising on X. What do I care?
Yeah.
Even though he's trying to sue advertisers for canceling on him, which good luck with that. But if you don't care if your company loses money, because that it affects the company's brand, it affects investors, it affects your employees. Like, I've run companies, and if I lose money because something dumb I've done, that trickles down the chain to everyone else. So you're just a lousy human and definitely a lousy boss if you're going to stick to the thing of, like, I don't care. I'm the world's richest man. I'm going home to my mansion no matter what.
Well, and some might say you could be sued, right? Because you have some sort of fiduciary duty to, you know, maintain a good reputation for your stockholders, right?
Yeah, nope, indeed. Let's see. Zort Gorlock says we need to separate Miller, Musk, and Trump. Trump can keep Vance. I don't think anyone wants Vance. I think that's the raw end of that deal for anybody involved. I don't even think his wife wants him anymore.
Hopefully not. I mean, I know people in the MAGA world love J.D. Vance, so we'll see. I mean, which should tell you something. If anyone in the MAGA community loves somebody, you should steer clear of them. That's what I've learned.
Yeah. That dude's not really going to be the next president, right? I don't see that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Somebody, a friend of mine asked me, like, do you still have hope in your life? You know, we were having this conversation. I was like, that's a good question. Maybe day-to-day hope. Like, you know, I have hope for tomorrow. But I don't know that I have hope for the next 10, 20 years. No, I don't.
Yeah. Sorry. And by the way, I don't want to jinx us. There is certainly a distinct possibility that J.D. Vance will be the next president. Do you know what scenario that would be?
What if Trump dies?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, come on. That guy cannot live to be 100 or something. The man who doesn't believe in exercise, who drinks Coke and eats a McDonald's all the time. Like, yeah. I would truly be amazed if he makes it through the next 4 years, which on one level, I don't want the man in office anymore. So if God's will is to take him out that way, then who am I to question Jesus? But moreover, to have Vance take his place.
Yeah. I don't know about all that. Yeah, I don't know what's worse. I don't even want to. Why do you bring that up? I don't even want to think about that, dude. We have seen how Trump has aged. You know, we always get to see, like, Obama really aged. Obama was a spry young man, and then at the end he was, you know, he's a grandpa-looking dude. But I have seen Trump age specifically over the last 5 years. I mean, that time off where Biden was in office was not good to him.
Yeah, no. Going through multiple criminal and civil trials will age you. The White House didn't age him, and I wonder why.
Yeah.
Because every other president stresses and works at that job.
Yeah.
So that's why they all age rapidly. If you're not working, if you're taking personal time all day and don't give a crap about any of this, then I don't think it's going to affect you at all.
Not reading the briefs? I mean, hey, let's be honest. He was living the life of Riley while he was in the White House. So, yeah, I don't think he aged at all. Hey, to put a bookend on your Elon Musk story, did you see that Rex Hupke wrote an article in the USA Today? A letter here. This is what it's called. A letter to sad Elon Musk from America. Hey, pal. Sorry, everybody was mean. It is a great article. I definitely can't read the whole thing. Did you read any of it?
I didn't. I'm boycotting Rex Hupke because he wants to be the new liberal Joe Rogan. He's the one that wrote that article the other day we talked about. Oh. And screw you, Rex. There's a whole long line ahead of you, buddy. I don't care if you have a little USA Today article. Nick and I have been doing this for years. So is everyone else who really American. So have so many of the other prominent liberals we all love. So no, Rex, you're not going to be the liberal Joe Rogan.
What do you mean?
But you keep writing your little print media article.
Have you confirmed that Rex just got on this bandwagon of being a liberal? Maybe he's been a staunch liberal for the last 15-20 years. I don't know.
That's fine, but get out a freaking microphone and host a talk show, host a podcast. Don't sit there and type and think about it. Let me check this. Let me reread. No, get here and do what we're doing. Speak off the top of your mind and put yourself out there with daily content. You know how easy it is to sit back behind your little keyboard and just type a mean-spirited article. No, I reject you, Rex. No, I mean, keep fighting for the good side, but no, you're not the next liberal Joe Rogan. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he is. But everyone should go read the article. It is actually kind of funny. So it's in USA Today.
All right. Stay in your lane, though, Rex.
All right.
Need to know news.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
News you need to know.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Where's Nick?
Right
get
here.
Over here, Nick.
Oh, I'm here, dude. I'm trying to get something rolling for you.
Trump is a fan of yours. I don't know why, but he's always looking for you.
He's always looking for me. hey, dude, we should talk about Trump's tariff plan and what's been happening as of late. We'll just give it a brief overlook here. What's he, Chicken Taco? What are we calling him now? Taco Chicken?
Taco. Yes. Wall Street dubbed him Taco. Trump always chickens out.
Yeah.
So they're talking about doing a taco trade, meaning make the trade. He's going to back down off that tariff. It'll end up profiting in the long run. So, yeah, Taco is his newest nickname.
Somebody posted on TikTok this video of that whole exchange with the reporter asking him, like, what do you think about chickening out? It's just him and his reply eating a taco in a chicken costume. It's AI, and it is fantastic. So
nice. There's also a fantastic video on that topic on Really American Media.
Oh,
so go ahead and search that out.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, what does that mean?
Okay. Hey, listen to this, dude. There's been some legal developments on the Trump tariffs. Just to clarify here, early 2025, President Trump imposed these sweeping tariffs on imports from nearly every foreign nation. We had this initial court ruling just yesterday. The U.S. Court of International Trade, which is that is just a really small department, but they stepped in and they said that President Trump exceeds his authority under the IEEPA by imposing those broad tariffs. The court stated that the IEEPA does not grant the president unlimited tariff authority and that such sweeping powers would violate the Constitution's separation of powers. Well, everyone was jumping for joy and glee, like, yeah, thanks for taking a look at that, guys, and we appreciate you.
And by the way, I think that will ultimately stand the test of time because he does not seem to have that authority. It is supposed to be in the hands of Congress, and he's trying to claim that this trade deficit is causing us, like, irreparable harm. We've been running a trade deficit for nearly 50 years.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say all of a sudden right now it's somehow caught up to us. So, yeah, we were all dancing a jig yesterday. Thank God somebody stripped him of these tariff powers.
Exactly. But, and we just had one night's sleep, and then as of today, May 29, the U.S. Court of Appeals for Federal Circuit granted a temporary administrative stay on the lower court's decision. The stay allows the tariffs to remain in effect while the appeals courts reviews the case. The court has set a deadline for further briefings with the final submission due by June 9. So, what is that?
I assume the Trump administration immediately came out and denounced this as some sort of judicial overreach, another corrupt judge weighing in on politics.
Yes, you would think that they would do that. But
wait, are they being hypocrites?
Yes. Well, we're not using hypocrisy anymore, though, right?
Right. Yeah. They're suffering from what if Biden did it syndrome, and they're doing it well. So, yeah. And by the way, I mean, I'm not thrilled of this temporary injunction or whatever, but this is the process. We all do have due process. We're allowed to appeal things. Judges are allowed to step in and put things on a temporary hold. Doesn't mean the whole thing is dead in the water. It's just a judge saying, time out, slow down. Let's put this through the legal system that we have here in America.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've been talking about tearing into things with chainsaws when they, you know, require a scalpel. And that's exactly what's being done here. But this does, these legal battles will introduce more uncertainty for businesses and consumers as we don't know what the prices are going to be. I mean, this is such an odd time. I mean, it's unprecedented, right?
Yeah. Now, stock surged yesterday on that news. And yeah, I mean, the whiplash going on. And on one level, you can sit back and laugh at the Wall Street fat cats or whatever. But a lot of people have 401ks. We both have parents that are getting older that have money in the stock market. Yeah. And I don't like seeing, you know, our parents' retirement because they're at that age going wildly up and down every day.
Yeah.
I've been trying to tell my parents, like, next time it's up, cash out and get the hell away from that volatility because we don't know what's going to happen on a daily basis. And again, Trump and Musk and all of the billionaires in this administration – they don't care. No. They're going home to a mansion regardless.
Yes,
they can lose $1 billion on paper. It doesn't mean anything.
Plenty of money to wait it all out, right?
Absolutely.
This also could have a lot of issues for our supply chains because this is just going to slow things and rearrange them again. The outcome of this case could have significant implications for the scope of presidential authority as a whole in trade matters. So, I mean, it is important that we find out. And June 9th, I mean, I guess, you know, that's 12 days away, something like that. So it's not that long that we have to sit and wait. And I guess it should be looked at, and hopefully they'll say, yeah, you're right, dude. We're not going to let these tariffs go through. So,
I mean, I pray. Because, again, we're not supposed to have a king in this country. This is a power that's supposed to be. It is afforded to Congress. So that a whole group of people have to decide if it's a good idea or a bad idea, not just one person arbitrarily doing it.
Right.
145%. I'll drop it down to 50, back up to 100. Now it's free. Everyone turn around and do the hokey pokey. Like, he's screwing with the global economy, and he's not supposed to have that sort of power. No. And the judicial branch is the only one that's going to stop us, because the legislative is just, you know, bending over backwards for the man.
Well, and think about this, that depending on the outcome of this, I mean, this case could be escalated to the Supreme Court, and I don't know if that's a good or bad thing right now. I just don't know how the Supreme Court is going to play in the sandbox. You know, when we went into this whole thing, I thought, oh, the Supreme Court's definitely going to side with Trump every time. But we've not seen that wholly, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, I can remember an era where I actually had faith in the Supreme Court to just be, I don't know, judges, to be above the fray and to look at the facts and weigh in on that. And we have seen them in recent years become highly partisan, but Trump has overplayed his hand with every judge in America, and we have seen John Roberts rebuke him recently. So I want to say that they're looking to check his power. So some of these cases, I think, not all of them, but I think enough of them may actually weigh in and do the right thing.
Yeah.
And please don't play this clip back in a month when I'm epically wrong.
No, dude. We got to be positive. If we can send our positive energy into the universe, it's really all you and I can do, right?
Well, can I offer you a silver lining, a glimmer of hope on this whole topic?
Love it when you do. You know that.
I will try. Longtime GOP strategist and former buddy of George W. Bush, Karl Rove, he is predicting that President Trump's tariff policies will cost Republicans next year's midterm elections, saying that it has become a muddled mess, that this whiplash, he says, quote, the president's frantic back and forth on the subject, declaring a trade war one day, then postponing new tariffs the next, leaves voters confused. Hence the taco name. Trump always chickens out, but you can't bet on him backing off of everything, especially now that we're calling him out, because now he's going to put big tariffs on and know he can't back out.
Yeah, we'll have to see, dude. I don't know. It's going to take a little time because I don't think these maggots are beaten into the ground yet. I mean, we just saw his approval rating with the Republicans at his highest number since he's been in office. So people are not distracted by this. And let me add to this whole topic that I'm offended by the fact that we're using TACO as an acronym. Like, that is so insulting to tacos, which is one of my favorite foods. So we should have come up with something different.
Well, it's pretty funny, though, that it's a Mexican food reference, right? I mean, that's got to get under his thick orange skin, so that's fun. But speaking of mega types coming around, and I realize a lot of them have it. We're still in the F-around stage. We're starting to find out. But just briefly, tell the audience about your mega brother, what he has been saying to you recently.
I have a brother who is MAGA. He's voted for Trump every time. And just recently, he's a person I've been able to continue to have conversations with over the last, you know, how many ever years. But just recently, he sounded exasperated. And he was like, he said this to me, dude. He was like, I don't know anymore, Nick. I don't know what's right, wrong, left, right, up, down. Like, I just don't know anymore. I just don't know. So
that's a huge concession from your brother.
Huge, dude, because he's been one of those guys who has always been able to, you know, say, oh, I vote on him only for policy. Like, I want more money in my pocket, you know, and at the end of the day, that's what he gave me his first term. So the rest of the stuff doesn't matter too much for me, which is completely myopic, short-sighted. But that's been the way he's talked about it this whole time. So, it is a huge concession. So let's hope that that spreads like a frickin' cancer through this country and people start saying, like, yeah, I'm tired. I am frickin' tired. I just don't know anymore.
It's impressive that at this small amount of time into his second administration here that your brother would say that kind of thing. I hope it is sustained. And in one level, I hope it's even worse a year from now so that these midterms are just an absolute blue wave explosion. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I do want to point out real quick, Nicholas, Tanks Alive on YouTube just made a donation to Really American Media while watching our show. So there you go. That is how you fight back, supporting a channel like this. And I assume that's going to get put into our legal fund for when we are deported to Guantanamo. So thank you.
Yeah,
that will pay for 30 seconds of a lawyer's time right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one way to be part of the resistance. I mean, people always wonder, like, what work can I do? Well, your support means the world, but your financial support goes a long way. You know, especially with a platform like this that has a collective group of people that are, you know, fighting for hopefully what we feel is right. And yeah, I'm just going to say it. We're fighting for what's right, dude. So thank you for the donation.
We're just trying to save democracy. That's it. Yeah. So, yes, your support in subscribing to this page, commenting, liking, as a whole bunch of people are on here. But yeah, you can actually subscribe to Really American for a small monthly amount of money that helps fight, you know, this cause and keep things going. But yeah, Tanks Alive, throwing a few bucks Really American's way.
Hey, Tanks Alive, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Hey, dude, before we get off, my brother, who is from Nebraska, I want to talk quickly about this whole story of the Nebraska congressman that's facing a little backlash. When Congress voted on this big, beautiful bill, which they did, mind you, in the middle of the night, and there were several people that pointed out, like, why are we here at 1 o'clock in the morning when the public can't watch what we're doing? Like, why are we hiding in the shadows to... put this through.
Did they think we wouldn't hear about what they were up to? Like the cameras weren't still rolling or something?
Yeah, I do not know, dude. I don't know why they did that. The last time that everybody met in the middle of the night, there was one guy, I can't remember his name, but he made the point that the last time that they met at 1-2 o'clock in the morning is when they were trying to extend children's health benefits when G.W. Bush was in office. So we've been here before, but for very different reasons, right? That was an emergency.
I thought you were going to say the last time Mega met anywhere at 1 a.m. was a truck stop bathroom.
No, that's for a different show, dude. We're on the air right now, Steve.
Oh, come on. Let's be honest.
Well, you just were. Here's my point. Mark Rubio said, hey, Mike Johnson said, hey, as we go back home on recess, hey, let's not have any town halls. If you're a Republican, don't have any town halls until we come back, which is an odd thing to say, right?
Right. It's a way to solve the problem of being screamed at by your constituents. Yeah. My mega congressman in my district is only doing tele town halls, and there's a cap at how many people can even log on to the dumb thing.
That's not a joke, by the way. I mean, that's a serious thing. That's crazy. Well, some people are not listening, and you got to be thankful for that. It's a bit of transparency. But during a recent town hall in Seward, Nebraska, Republican Congressman Mike Flood faced intense criticism from constituents after admitting he had not read a significant provision in the big, beautiful bill. And how could you, right? Because they were changing it as they were meeting. I mean, this thing was over, well over 1,000 pages long. And,
yeah, which always drives me nuts that people vote on something they haven't read and try to say, like, it's 1,000 pages. That's a whole Harry Potter book right there. Well, my kids made it through all the Harry Potter books. I'm pretty sure you should take the time to read it before you vote on it. So maybe instead of 1 a.m., make it 5 a.m. and, you know, skim through that thing.
Exactly, dude. So I've got video of this guy taking a question from somebody in the audience. Should I play it? Should I try and play it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please.
I'll try and play this for you.
Which effectively prohibits federal courts from enforcing contempt orders. Please let me answer my question. I only got 30 seconds. Which would then allow current and future administrations to ignore those contempt orders by removing the enforcement capabilities.
I do not agree with that section that was added to that bill. This provision was unknown to me when I voted for the bill.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, next question. Next question.
I am not going to hide the truth. This provision was unknown to me when I voted for that bill. And when I found out that provision was in the bill, I immediately reached out to my Senate counterparts and told them of my concern. And when I return to Washington, I am going to very clearly tell the people in my conference that we cannot support undermining our court system, and we must allow our federal courts to operate and issue injunctions.
What do you think?
I mean, what's the day late and a dollar short? Is that what they say?
I hate that ignorance is his defense. Like, I didn't know that was in there, and that he thinks somehow that justifies it.
Completely. That video just, I mean, we had to edit for brevity, but, I mean, that crowd was booing him and acting just as they should. Like, what are you talking about that you didn't know was in it? Why would you vote on something that you had no idea? But let's keep in mind, that is 99, I think the actual statistic is 99.999% of the MAGA party. I mean, they all voted for something and they had no idea what they were voting for. Yeah. That's why we're talking FAFO, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, monkey see, monkey do. But that, I know elected officials often try to sneak stuff in budget bills, but that is freaking disgusting.
Yeah.
That they tried to sneak in something that would undermine one of the co-equal branches of government and, by the way, get Trump off the hook for one of the current cases, the Abrego-Garcia thing, where they've been ordered to give it back, you know, bring him back, and they're going to probably be held in contempt. And I mean, they were literally just trying to sneak one by you to, again, make Trump the dictator in chief.
Yeah, 100%. That is insane, dude. That, I mean, it's exact. I think it's one of the last pieces of the puzzle he needs, right? To not be able to, A, if we put you in contempt, like, oh, that doesn't matter to me, you know, not to me. Like, I don't have to follow that crap.
Yes. And how does MAGA put up with this? You've elected a king, and now he's literally declaring that he's above the law. Again, Obama, Biden, if they tried to slip something in there to give them basically immunity, MAGA would have pitchforks in the streets, and they'd be right to do so.
Of course, dude. Yeah, this is not, like you said, we didn't vote for a king. You guys did. But now we just have to take the ride with you.
Yeah, the rest of us have to deal with it.
Yeah. All right. We got to get getting, kitten. Appreciate the people, Steve, please.
We appreciate you watching live and getting vocal, because that is what this show is about. It's how Nick and I started on the radio back in 2001 of letting people call in, or nowadays, you know, comment in. And we're here to share our show with you. So thank you for getting vocal.
Indeed, we are. You can see all our socials. We got them all except True Social and X. See our webpage, thevocalminority.net. You can call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. We'll play a comment on the show if you got something to say. But thanks for being a part of the resistance, and join us here on this page, the Really American page, for short form videos throughout the week. We appreciate you.
Indeed. And if you have not subscribed, that's really insulting. So subscribe to the page. It costs you nothing, but it does a lot for us.
Yes. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we bid you adieu.
And we say bye-bye.